is 9 a.m. on May 1st. It's May 1st, people. You're listening to Good Morning Atlanta, sponsored by World Trade Center Atlanta on Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress on AtlantaDowntown.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
I'm Elizabeth Gordon.
And we have, as always, a great show lined up for you today. Today we've got the World Trade Center, the whole building right inside the studio. But actually, we have the most important person at the World Trade Center, Lilia Postolacci, joining us. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you again.
And yeah, always great to have you here. And two interns today, Katie and Chris, joining us. Katie is sort of a legacy Business Radio X family member, so we're glad to get you in the studio.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we will not leave you out either, so welcome to both of you, actually.
Thank you.
All right. So before we get into what's happening at the World Trade Center, we're going to do our usual rundown of the Atlanta business headlines and Atlanta and beyond. I've got some bigger stories I want to talk about today. But for those of you who are regular listeners to the show, Elizabeth, are you a regular listener?
Sometimes I pay attention.
Oh, I appreciate that. We love lists, and today's list is no exception. Atlanta, did you know this, ranked number 8 on the top 10 tornado cities. Hmm. So who would have thought? You know, I always picture like Dorothy and Toto in Kansas.
Mm-hmm. We have seen a lot of tornadoes recently.
Mm-hmm. We have. And the first time it happened.
And yes, that was my reaction. I didn't know I moved to Kansas.
Right. I mean, when I first moved to Atlanta, well, not right away, but a couple years in, that tornado came. I think it was in the 90s, that swept through Dunwoody. And knocked out a bunch of really, you know, it wasn't a trailer park, people. It was expensive homes in Dunwoody that got flattened. And I was sort of like, what? You know, where are we? What's going on here? Anyway, we're number 8. This is according to a report done by the Weather Channel. And the other cities, would you believe the top city on the list is not in Kansas either. It's Huntsville, Alabama. Hmm. Top city. Hmm. The other ones, Jackson, Mississippi, Birmingham, Alabama, Tuscaloosa, Alabama, Little Rock, Arkansas, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Now we're getting there. Oklahoma City, us. And then Wichita, Kansas, and Nashville, Tennessee. So only one Kansas City making the list.
So the stereotype is
false.
Been revoked.
And I'm actually originally from Mississippi, so when I moved to Atlanta, I was like, yay, no bad weather.
And then
because
you're like, oh, no.
When they said tornado, nothing ever happens.
Yeah, well, that's
so
true.
So I was like,
too.
This is great.
Yeah.
Mississippi, it's when they say tornado, go hide.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I always thought it was just trailer parks. I mean, not to be rude, but I always just thought like somehow, maybe because they're on flat level places
right,
or they're, I
right.
don't know, but it just always seemed like it was hardly ever like a nice brick home that got knocked down, you know?
I've seen huge buildings demolished.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. All right, from the ridiculous to the more ridiculous, if you are into the whole showbiz happening here in Atlanta, there are a bunch of Atlanta filmed movies coming to theaters this year.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought I would mention a few of them in case you... I always think it's cool to go to the movies and see like, oh, I know where that is. Oh, that was right down the street. Oh, that's my mm-hmm. neighbor, you know. So I thought I would just mention that The Internship, starring Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson, which is coming out June 7th, was filmed here.
Mm.
Also, Prisoners, starring Hugh Jackman, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Melissa Leo, which comes out in September, was filmed here. Did you know that The Hunger Games...
Yeah, the new one.
Yeah, filmed
mm-hmm.
here.
Wow.
Coming out in November. Very excited about that movie. Have to say, love that series. And then, of course, all the Tyler Perry movies. So Tyler Perry has a new Medea movie coming out. Is that how you say it? Medea? Did
Medea?
I get that right?
Mm-hmm.
Medea? Medea.
Uh-huh.
Medea, I think that's it. I'll go with the young people.
All
right, moving on. So one of our favorite topics of late on this show, and you guys, it's all women in here today, so
yeah.
You guys will appreciate this. We've been talking a lot about Marissa Mayer at Yahoo and all of her changes to the workplace. And she took a lot of criticism, I guess it was several months ago now, when she said nobody can work from home anymore.
Oh, I read that
yeah.
article.
Yeah. And then she also took some more criticism because she had a baby and came back mm-hmm. to work after 2 weeks.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, of course, the other side of that, which we've talked about in depth, is that she came back after 2 weeks, but she has a nursery, you know, next door to her office. So la-di-da for her. Most of us working gals don't have that luxury. And anyway, when was the last time someone called you a gal? Just saying. But that hasn't happened recently.
Yeah, let's not take the feminist movement completely backwards here, Dana.
Sorry. My bad. I do love that word, though, gals, for some odd reason. Gals. Anyway, gals. Marissa Mayer, or Mayer, makes the headlines again because now, sort of in exchange for being a baddie, she's now offered up 16 weeks of maternity leave, paid, which is huge. I think 12 weeks family leave is the law, but that's unpaid. Right. She's now giving 16 weeks paid maternity leave for new moms, 8 weeks paid leave for new dads, 8 weeks paid leave for people adopting. Mm-hmm. She's also giving I love this one, a daily habits reimbursement. Mm-hmm. Let's hope your habits are good, because I'm quite sure she doesn't mean like cigarettes and alcohol. You know, those are my, no, they're not my habits. I'm kidding. But you can actually use it for laundry, house cleaning, groceries, takeout food, things like that. So I guess she's saying if you have to stay here, at least we'll help you out a little bit. Giving gifts, they're giving gifts of branded baby gifts. And here's another one I thought was interesting. 5-year employees, if you've been there 5 years or more, you can have eight weeks of unpaid leave. So it's a little weird because it's unpaid, but you can take 8 weeks off for vacation, I guess, is what they're saying. Mm-hmm. So if you,
That's huge. A lot of people would do that, you know, just because if you want to take like a lot, like say you want to travel internationally and you don't want to, you know, get on a plane and get right back on a plane.
Right.
You want to actually take a mini break. It's very healthy to do so. And you really can't in kind of our current like 2-week vacation policy type economy.
Right. Yeah, but see, Dana, what you're talking about is, to me, it's hurtful because I'm coming from the former Soviet Union bloc, and women had there up to 3 years of paid maternity leave. Yes, vacation.
Wow.
And unless you don't want to stay at home and you really want to make more money, it's your choice. But I strongly believe that at least 1 year, a maternity leave must be paid, because for the first year, a baby lives on the mother's energy. And a woman, a normal woman, physically cannot work 40 hours a week and take care of baby and look like a woman and feel like a woman. Seriously,
no,
it's
so
not.
Right.
And I love living in the United States. I believe it's one of the most wonderful and, you know, strongest countries in the world. But I do believe that this hunger for money, demand for the outstanding achievements, actually killing themselves, because if a mother is not raising a child within first year and giving that energy and health, then we are raising an unhealthy society, and then we're paying double prices. Then the corporations are paying for those leaves, or you know,
right? It's a very short term
exactly
view to try and squeeze every last drop of productivity out
exactly,
of your people today,
exactly.
today.
It's not healthy, and I do believe that we would adapt here a little bit from Europe, what Europe has, because I believe that Europe still maintains that balance, a healthy balance between the work and life, and they do feel that they live. Close to this funny anecdote, two Ukrainians went to France when the Russian bloc was closed, the Iron Curtain.
Yeah.
And they were taken to the cemetery, and at the cemetery they saw that the person was born in 1910 and died in 1980, but lived only 4 years. And they saw, yes, and they couldn't understand the math, and they're asking the guide, what's wrong with these people? Why are you writing like this? And she said, well, see, in France here, those people wanted to make sure that everybody knew that they lived to the fullest those 4 years or 5 years they mentioned. And one Ukrainian looks at it, at the another, and says, hey, Peter, when I'll come back and when the time it comes and when I'll die, please make sure that they write on my grave, he was born dead.
I love it. Yeah, it's a good point. It's a really good point. I mean, work-life balance is actually, I actually think, and our young interns can speak to this a little bit more, but I think your generation is actually more concerned with that than ours was. I think there is a push back towards finding a work-life balance, which I think is really good. I hope you girls don't get too, you know, career focused that you forget about that, because...
it's basically time management, I believe. Managing your time, taking time just to go to the park, run around with your dog if you like,
yeah,
and rebooting, basically reboot.
You know, have that energy.
Well, you know, one of the things I found, I have a daughter who's in the ballpark of you guys. She's 20. And when she was born, I was working full time and I did take off, which was unheard of at the time. It was before the family leave bill from Clinton. She was born in 1992 and I took off, I think 4 months, with some help from my in-laws and whatever. And, it was very hard to go back. But one of the things that I learned in terms of work-life balance is before I had her, I was, you know, in my early 20s and I was busting my butt at work. So if I had to work 12 hours, 16 hours, I was there. I was in my suit and my pantyhose and I was getting it done. And then when I had her, I had no choice. I had to leave to pick her up at 6 o'clock because the daycare was going to close at 6:30. So, and my husband at the time traveled. So I had no choice. And what I learned very quickly is that my career didn't suffer at all from that. I was able to do the same thing as everybody else. I just worked smarter.
Yeah.
And I was more mature in a lot of ways because I just said, I have these responsibilities. I have to go see you tomorrow. And my clients didn't suffer. My projects didn't suffer. My career didn't suffer. So I was like forced into work-life balance. Mm-hmm. And I think if people could sort of, who don't have children, could sort of take that lesson almost. Absolutely. And say, you know what? There's no reason to stay here till 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a brain surgeon and you got somebody open on the table, you better stay.
Yes, please.
Right? But otherwise, go home and Absolutely. Call it a day. No and one's going to die.
They did a study where the more that you work, if you reach that peak after, especially after 7 hours, you're not doing anyone good, yourself, your company, because they're spending money paying you time and a half or overtime and you aren't being productive.
Yeah, it's silly. So work-life balance, huge. Marissa Mayer, I don't know what she's up to, but she's trying to find some way to get the most out of her people and keep them happy. And we'll see how it all falls out.
I think it definitely will help women and will help maybe in some changes for women.
Yeah.
Unless you communicate about this openly and in the manner she does, other than that, people don't hear that. People don't react on that. People don't see that. And I think if some more women will start to require this time off for women who are nursing and women who just have babies, that will definitely help.
You know, it's funny because the whole idea of her taking away, I mean, giving 16 weeks of paid maternity leave is great for people who are having babies. Mm-hmm. But like, if you're already done with your babies or your kids are 5 years old or whatever, this is not a benefit that helps you in any way.
Or you don't plan on having babies.
Or you don't plan on having babies.
Exactly.
Correct. Yeah. And so this is a great benefit for a small percentage mm-hmm. of her employees, mm-hmm. but not for everyone. Mm-hmm. But for everyone, she took away work from home. And that to me, work from home to me is a huge work-life balance kind of thing because mm-hmm. I'm a freelancer and I work a large part of my business from home. And so while I work my butt off and I often work at 9 o'clock at night, I also do laundry at 3 in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
Or run to the dry cleaner in the middle of the day or whatever.
You've learned to juggle many things at one time, optimize your time,
right.
and get the most out of it.
Right. And I think by taking away that work from home from everyone, mm-hmm. I don't think this pays back.
No, that's absolutely dangerous. One of the things that you've met my father, but one of the things that he's huge on is that you always have to, no matter how busy you are, take a moment and say, you know what, I think I'd rather be hanging out with my family or doing something like that. And my dad worked from home my entire growing up life. He was always there. If you came home from school and needed to go do something, you wanted to go hang out. We still have daddy-daughter dates all the time.
Aww.
I know, right? We had one last night. But he was huge my whole life on don't start working too early, you know, always enjoy yourself. But a huge part of that and why he was able to instill that in us is because he worked from home.
Right.
Most of the time.
Right. And that's
and he was
huge.
Always there.
Huge. And I think that's, I think companies allowing people to do that has made it much more balanced for a lot of people. Yeah. I mean, how many kids can say that about their dad? You know, nobody whose dad works at Yahoo anymore. Just saying. all right, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about Georgia Power. We like to kind of keep people up to date on what's going on around town. And Georgia Power has now made a new commitment to using wind energy, which is pretty exciting.
I thought you were going to segue this one off the tornado story.
I should have. Good point. Hey, that's a good point. Why can't we have a wind farm here? We have tornadoes. And I have noticed, you know how they always say Chicago is the windy city?
Absolutely.
Like, Atlanta's pretty windy.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Always.
All those buildings, mm-hmm. they get draft tunnels.
Yeah.
Yeah. On the south side of turbines. Downtown.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, they're actually buying the wind energy from a wind farm in Oklahoma. But regardless, it's kind of a cool venture for them to move in a little bit to cleaner, greener energy, which I think is cool that they're moving that way. So I think if it works out, and then there'll be more of that to come, which is good.
Yeah, absolutely. I like clean energy.
Well, we've had a lot of people on the show over the years. Has it been years now, Elizabeth?
Over how many years, actually?
I don't know. Two? We're on year two, I think. We're in year two. So we're going to
see. Feels like 10.
Feels like forever. God, I've gotten old just sitting here. But, you know, we have had a lot of people on talking about, you know, green technology and green energy and green buildings and green offices and all of that. So it's always nice to see when a big company embraces something like that in a big way. So happy about that. In a more negative space, if you will, Tim Gunn. Who doesn't love Tim Gunn? Does everybody love Tim Gunn? Come on. You know who he is. Everyone knows who he is, right?
From the Project Runway.
Oh, my God. He's fabulous. Anyway, apparently the Atlanta Pride has a party at the Georgia Aquarium. And Tim Gunn does not like this because apparently Pride is very raucous, as you might imagine. And there are beluga whales there that are very sensitive to chaos and noise. And it's very upsetting to the whales to have this kind of chaos around them. So Tim Gunn, along with, I believe, PETA, though I could be wrong about that.
Yes, PETA is involved.
Yeah,
as well.
Have sort of protested this Georgia Pride event. And, of course, the organizers are, you know, saying that that's not an issue. And
well, the thing is, you know, I do a lot of fundraising events at the aquarium. And some of them, you know, the aquarium does a lot of events there. And
yes.
They're very aware of what the animals can tolerate and where to position things appropriately so that it is not a disturbance. I mean, it's, I think, a front of mind thought in terms of organizing any type of large scale event at the aquarium. So I'm not sure that this is necessarily grounded. I believe that the aquarium has done a lot to mitigate any factors that would harm the animals, but it's an interesting story to see how it plays out.
It is, and I actually brought it up for two reasons. One, just because I like the beluga whales, but also because I like Tim Gunn, but also because it sort of brought to my mind, and I'm going to go around and get everybody's opinion on this, but if you were a celebrity, if you had a name, people knew who you were from television or whatever it was that you were, a sports star or whatever, would you put yourself out there on an issue like Bono or Tim Gunn in this case, or would you just keep it to yourself, keep quiet? Because I think obviously these people have a lot of power, right? Tim Gunn says something and it makes the newspaper. You know, Katie Payton says the same thing and nobody puts it in the newspaper. Love you. But, Lilia, they might put it in the paper because she's kind of a big deal. But, you know, we say things all the time and nobody, you know, we're not getting printed up. The minute Bono says something or, you know, Michael Douglas or whoever, you know, anybody that has a name, they make a statement and it makes the paper. So would you, Elizabeth, step out? If you were a big name.
On something that I felt that was sufficiently important, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point of becoming a celebrity. It's not to stroke your own ego or see your name in headlights. It's to be able to use that as influence to get things done, to get your opinions across, and to make changes in the world that you feel passionately about. So in my mind, absolutely, that's your responsibility and your duty as a public figure that you've stepped into those shoes to make those kinds of points. Now, you do see celebrities stepping out on things where you might say, you know what, I don't know if I'd do that, or might have done my homework a little bit more before I made that major public comment.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah, arguably, I mean, I hear you, because for you, like you just said, if you were able to get a name like that, you would be doing it because you wanted your point to be heard, right? But a lot of celebrities become celebrities because they want to make money, or they want to, they like to see their name in lights. I mean, I'm quite sure that, you know, at age 12, Miley Cyrus didn't say, I want to get out there to save the whales. Like, she wanted to be a singer and a star, and her daddy was a star and whatever else, right? So, but then they get this name, and often, I hate to say this because I'm sure it's a blanket statement that is totally unfair, but they're not all that brilliant, all of them.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. Well,
so it's, they often
a matter
step
of marketing and the money involved and good luck, as Chinese said. That's very important, that good luck is shining at you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they are there.
So, Lilia, would you do it? Would you
all
step
these,
out?
Like, qualities to celebrities, like they should be smarter than everybody else. Yeah. And they should, yeah.
And they're not.
No, they're just like everybody else.
Exactly. I absolutely agree with Elizabeth that when people have this blessing, I do believe that this is blessing, whether it's luck or whichever you say, coincidence, they have to be 10 million times more careful on what the message they bring to the society and to people, because there is a group of these young teenage girls which are following blindly the way the Katy Perry or whomever else, I'm sorry, I'm not too good with this, dress up, how they behave, with whom they, all the things, and they copy that. Yeah. And this is what they project to the society, and this is what they project to the younger generation, and it's dangerous.
Yes.
It's dangerous to see how they misbehave and how it's taken as it is, that it's supposed to be like that. It's a big no, and I believe that we have to have some kind of
filter,
or those critics who would say, okay, this month the worst out of the stars was such and such because they've made that stupid comment and they conveyed that message which didn't bring anything except the empty or a really bad influence on people.
Right.
That way, they will be much more careful. Like the this lady who is doing the fashion police.
Oh, I don't know who's doing
older,
the fashion police.
The fashion police.
Who does the fashion police? Anybody? Anybody?
Oh, come on!
But I have to. I have to summarize this with Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility. That's all I'm thinking every time everyone's saying this.
I love it.
It's so true. Like, you, if you're going to be a public figure and if people are going to follow you, you have to take that into account and say, not only am I responsible for myself, and it's hard. I mean, that is difficult.
Yeah.
But not only am I responsible for myself, but I'm responsible for what everyone else is seeing of me, what message they're getting, what view they're seeing, and what they're going to take from that and what they're going to imply in their own lives. And that's huge.
Yeah.
And that's something that I wouldn't ever want to deal with, I have to say.
Yeah. So would you do it? Would you step out on an issue if you were a big name?
Okay. It's really funny. I hope that I would on something like, she said, that's really that I'm passionate about, but there's always a story that my dad tells me, about a guy who made like millions of dollars and his whole life just donated millions of dollars anonymously to things because he wanted to make the world a better place without having everyone know it. And I think there's something so powerful about not being recognized and not being credited with something.
Yeah.
Making a difference and have it just be good energy put into the world.
Yeah.
I love that. And I'm hoping that if a celebrity does decide to get behind an issue, that they do make it about the issue and not about themselves.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a huge part of fulfilling a responsibility to society. But I'm almost hoping that if I did have a name, I might help an issue, but I wouldn't want to be the figurehead for it. I would want the issue to be the figurehead for itself.
Interesting. And not always easy to achieve, I think, for them.
No,
depending on how big of a name you are, mm-hmm, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris?
Well, think about Angelina Jolie.
I was just thinking about her, yeah.
Well, there are, but yeah.
So, she's an ambassador.
Right.
Now, she's taken her fame and turned it into.
Right. And a lot of them have done it very well.
Yes.
And a lot of them have not done it very well. I mean, there are definitely those where
that's what bothers me about this story is because, like, every other line is Tim Gunn said this and Tim Gunn said this. And mm-hmm. It's like.
Well, and as you said, being involved in the aquarium, your experience is that it's actually, they do
like
take
it,
this
it's
into,
occurred to them right, before. And right. They've right, thought that through.
Right. And that they are aware of it and they don't put the big, you know, blasting music right in front of the tank of the beluga whales. I mean, let's face it. And so, you know, nor do they allow people to be banging on the glass or whatever.
Exactly. So torturous, I think, is a little mm-hmm. overblown.
Right. Right.
And
so,
I agree. And with by Katie's the way, aquarium is just a second. Aquarium no is managed by the Restaurant Associates. It's the same group I work for. We manage World Trade Center Atlanta, and Restaurant Associates belongs to the Compass Group, to the largest in the world food provider, and we're managing in Atlanta High Museum of Arts, Woodruff Center. One of our group is Wolfgang Puck, and aquarium.
I told you
and,
you were a big yeah. deal.
We
big
are. Deal. We are.
Chris, so would you do it?
Yeah. Oh, I'm thinking more along the lines, as Katie had said. I think if I were at that caliber, I would have a spokesperson, and I would have someone also that is a scientist who knows facts.
You'd put a group together.
Right, because I feel like the thing that puts me off with celebrities personally, someone goes on Ellen and they're like, yeah, I'm helping with autism. And then, by the way, I have an album coming out. And
right.
I'm like, really? This doesn't really make me want to buy your album.
Right.
In fact, I thought your music was cool until you just said that statement.
Well, it's interesting. That brings up a whole – we could do a whole show on this because it brings up a whole other topic for me, which is this whole social entrepreneurship, which I think is a great thing on the one hand. But there's a very fine line
absolutely
between buy my products because – I want to make money and oh, by the way, I'm giving, you should buy my products because I'm giving to autism or breast cancer or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. They're 10% of like 2 billion.
Right. Right. Or 1% or
0.1%. A lot of times it's just a tax cut for them. So then I'm thinking, well, this doesn't really make sense.
Exactly. Right. It's just an accounting strategy.
It's
and a marketing strategy.
And it's not really heartfelt. So that gets absolutely. Back to your anonymous donor. Mm-hmm. I would much rather, I was in the social entrepreneur space for a while and I was always questioning it. I worked for someone else and I was sort of like, I don't know about this. I was never comfortable because you take a company like Target, who is not a social entrepreneur company. They are a for-profit company. At the end of the year, when they look at their numbers, they go, okay, we made this many billions of dollars. Here's how much we're going to give to charity. Done. And they move on. Mm-hmm. They don't try to get you to buy from them because they do that. Mm-hmm. They try to get you to buy from them because they make the best possible product.
Absolutely.
They give you a good shopping environment, et cetera, right? So these companies that are saying, you should buy from me because my product's no better, my service might be worse, but I give to charity? No. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
No.
I've seen like the breast cancer, I guess at the late 90s. Early
oh, those ribbons.
Everywhere.
Yeah, ribbons everywhere. Put a ribbon on it and all of a sudden, and I've seen women, I've observed and I've seen them spend like $50 and I'm like, you really, you know, wow, what? It blows my mind.
Well, and it's an interesting point because at the end of the day, if you really care about that particular charity, mm-hmm. you're better off giving your money
directly
to the charity.
And volunteer.
And buy the cheaper damn yogurt.
Absolutely. And you know, the funny part that people feel how genuine you are or how genuine the message is. And as Chris said, it's a big turn off when along with the message about your company, you hear that, oh, yes, by the way, as you mentioned.
Right.
And people have to remember that because lately it's not about how good the product is or even the cause, is how honest you are with the people. And people sense this more than you would understand and you would even believe it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. I want to move on. One last business story here, or news story, I should say, before we get to all the good things at the World Trade Center, Atlanta. In the wake of the Boston Marathon bombings, the mayor has just come out here in Atlanta with some information about the Peachtree Road Race happening on July 4th. Prepare runners and city livers to be disrupted. And good, as we should, because there are 60,000 runners that will come to Atlanta from the suburbs and from mm-hmm. here to participate in the Peachtree Road Race. And there's always been security, but it's going to be heightened significantly, shall we say. There will be a lot more cameras. Mm-hmm. There will be SWAT teams. There will be all kinds of things going on. So if you're used to going, which I've run it multiple times and,
wow.
And then I stopped for a number of years and I ran it last year again for the first time in many years. And I'm signed up to run it again this year. But it's so funny because I have to tell a little personal story about this. I I'm the type to buck authority. I'm sure you haven't figured that out. And so last year, I am a total. Yeah. So last year I had a pretty bad number because I decided to do it at the last minute and I signed up pretty late. And so I got a pretty bad number. I was way in the back of the pack and I was a pretty decent runner last year. This year, it's going to be a different story because of my health issues. But last year I was running pretty fast. I was actually winning some 5Ks in my age category and whatever. Wow. Right. So having this number in the back was sort of frustrating because I knew I was going to be behind a lot of slow people. So I put my number on and I got out there and then I started pushing my way forward into earlier groups, which you're not supposed to do. And there were policemen kind of in between each group, but they can't span the whole thing.
They're not policing that.
No, yes, they are.
Really?
Yes. They look at so my theory was to just try to act nonchalant, like I knew what I was doing and just meander on through the groups. Right. So I end up right in front of this policeman and he says, you got to go back. You got to go back. And I was like, oh, but my boyfriend's up there. Lie. Total lie. My boyfriend wasn't even running. He was like behind me with a camera. So I said, oh, but my boyfriend's up there. I got to meet him. You got to go back. So I said, okay. And I just went left and went like four people over left and went forward again because he couldn't see me anymore. As I'm short enough that he couldn't see me. So this year, I think if you try to do stuff like that,
you might get in trouble.
You might get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year, alas, I'm going to get a good number, I think, because I had a good qualifying time. And then I'm going to be the opposite because I've had some health issues this year and I can't run as fast and whatever. So anyway, bummer. But anyway, all of that to say, prepare.
That's a good warning for people that might be trying to
sneak. This year, don't do it. Maybe. I think don't do
Not
it.
A
because
good time.
And certainly don't do it with like a backpack on. Just saying. No baseball caps, no sun. I mean, you gotta just be, don't be, yeah. Don't
well,
be
there's
sketchy.
Gonna be cameras the entire route. That was the other thing.
Yes.
That Kasim Reed said.
Yep.
I mean, they started with 50 cameras and now they have about 1300. So
yeah.
And a big ramp up in terms of safety and security.
Yeah. And as I said, trained SWAT officers, they're going to be, you know, going up and down the sidelines looking for packages. They're going to be all over it. Nothing's going to happen. I feel like it's going to be very safe. But, you know, you also have to be diligent as citizens. I think if you're out there that day, you need to report anything suspicious immediately.
Yeah.
Like not racial profiling people, but just if you see somebody being sketchy, because we
put
all know.
Put a backpack in a trash can.
Right. Well, for sure. Yes. But anyway, just know that at least Atlanta is on top of it, and they do plan to make this event as safe as possible. And I think you know, America likes to make these statements of we are not going to let you disrupt our way of life. And doing these big events is part of our way of life. And so we're going forward. We're just going to do it with more security. And we're going to be out there running, you know, and thinking about the people at the Boston Marathon when we do it. So anyway, that's our news for today. And so glad to have you guys participate. You know, sometimes we get people in here who don't
have the same energy.
No.
they get bored with us. But
no, you get bored with them. Probably. I'm sorry, Dana.
That's a secret. Don't tell anyone that, Lilia. Well, anyway, on to the World Trade Center. It's been a while. You've been sending us lovely guests for the last several months, but we have not had the pleasure of an update from the World Trade Center. So tell us what's happening.
This is why I decided to bring my fabulous team. As you know, we run international and local internship program, and our program worldwide is unpaid internship program, complete over 6 months, gaining critical insights into corporate management, international business transactions, negotiations, programs and marketing, trade research, cross-cultural business etiquette, corporate finance, and many other related topics. We had over the past 7 years, 10 years, I would say, I've been working only 7 years, interns from different countries such as China, Turkey, Germany, Greece, Great Britain, Ethiopia, Ukraine, Brazil, Algeria, Egypt, Senegal, Kenya. We will have this year students from Canada. One student will have intern from Sweden. We will have intern from we have it her already. Miss Manin, from which country?
Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah, Côte d'Ivoire.
Yeah, Ivory Coast.
Ivory Coast. Okay, Ivory Coast. And we will have another intern from Africa. I believe that internship program at the World Trade definitely brings a difference, makes a difference, because when I was invited to Georgia Tech to speak on the differences between the co-op program and the internship in front of the professors from our universities from different countries, it was last year they had a conference on this co-op program. It was a real interesting subject that, you know, companies typically do not like, honestly, to hire students right after the university because they don't have experience.
Right, it's that whole chicken and egg thing.
Yeah, you can't
get a job until you have experience. How are you supposed to get experience?
Co-op program is definitely an interesting, great, it's paid, but internship program is unique because it gives an opportunity to students to have this kind of a workshop where they experience everything what they would have to do in an actual company in the office, but without that high level of responsibility. And they've been coached by me and our team on the daily basis, whichever their schedule is, on what to do, what not to do, starting with the dress code, starting with the way you have to communicate, the way you have to analyze people's behavior, you have to understand psychology, the way you have to learn marketing, and many other interesting things. And I would like to give them a few minutes to talk about their experience.
Yeah, I would love to hear about that. I know I did an internship in a different field. I'm like in my eighth career or something, or whatever, who's counting. But I remember feeling like it helped a lot career-wise. It helped a lot just in terms of knowing what I wanted to do.
And confidence. It definitely builds up their confidence.
Yeah, so let's start with you, Katie. Talk a little bit about your experience so far.
Well, I want to let everybody know that I'm a student at the University of Georgia, and I've got kind of an interesting major. I'm political science, international affairs, and I'm also studying Arabic.
Wow.
So the international aspect of working with the World Trade Center in Atlanta was really what kind of drew me. But the thing that blew my mind while I'm working there is I expected to be, you know, the lowly intern in the corner who goes and gets coffee and, you know, escorts people from the front to her office. But that's not at all what you're doing. You have the opportunity to really be involved in the business of the World Trade Center. She allows you to work on marketing campaigns. And, you know, there was a couple weeks ago where in one day I sat next to the South African ambassador, got his business card, made some jokes with him, and then got to shake hands with over a dozen leading, you know, CEOs in Atlanta. How often are you going to get that experience in an internship? And, you know, in the same day, I'll create a flyer that's going to be part of a marketing strategy for an event. And I'll learn, you know, the etiquette on an email that I'm sending to someone who's the CEO of a company, or who's, you know, even just the secretary of a CEO of a company. How do I write that? What kind of things are appropriate to say and aren't? How do I end it? How do I let them know that they can contact me? The little things that you don't learn sitting in a classroom.
Right.
But when you go into a work environment, they're going to be so happy that you already have this experience.
Right. Well, it's also even just getting a job. I mean, knowing how to yes, communicate absolutely. With executives, that's huge.
Right.
I mean, you're going to be sitting in front of them, emailing them, et cetera, absolutely. Just trying to get the job.
Yes, exactly. It's really, it's just fascinating. And I've talked to some of my friends who are internships, and one of the things that they feel like are missing is they don't understand what the work that they're doing is contributing to the business. And Lilia makes an effort, and you can tell, I mean, it's a recognized effort to let you know why what you're doing is important, how what you're doing affects the World Trade Center's business. And you just learn so much more from that than if you just had a task, you finish it, and then you move on to something else. You are learning so much in one day that you're really going to be able to take on to the next thing that you do.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Chris, what are your thoughts?
Absolutely everything that she said was in my mind. So,
so now it's always hard to go second.
But absolutely, I have a little bit of different situation than Katie. She hasn't graduated yet. I graduated Georgia State December 2012.
Congratulations.
And my problem is, okay, I have a business degree, marketing degree, and sociology. My bachelor's is in sociology.
And she's a musician, actually. She's very shy and modest, but I have to speak up for her. She's so She's such a talented musician. She has many CDs, and she's been writing for movies. And, yeah, Chris, talk about
it. And I would have to say I attended the Peggy Still School of Music. So if you've ever heard
of Peggy Still,
we had Peggy Still on yesterday.
She was here.
She is the reason I'm a fantastic musician. And I attended a conference. They were giving her an award at Georgia State. And I'm thinking, oh, she won't remember me. That was like so many years ago. And she picked me out of the crowd. I was waiting in line, you know, very quiet. To say hello, and she beelined everybody else waiting in line and said my full name. She remembered Christina George is my full name, but I go by Chris. And I just thought, wow, she is the most warm, amazing person. And that's how I think, like Katie said with Lilia, we learn so much from her because she has a meeting with us in the morning. We do our to-do list, and then towards the evening we wrap it up, and then we have, okay, here's why we did this. So the professional development is happening. And with me, I graduated Georgia State a semester early. And then I'm like, oh, I'm applying for jobs, but I have no experience. This is not good. But I was so full with my senior year of trying to get all these classes in and doing research thesis projects. And I was like, I don't know how I can fit an internship in, you know, balancing that. And I was working a part-time job. So I think with the World Trade Center, everything that I've read in books is now being applied. Before, even in our marketing classes, we would do little advertisements and give presentations, but it wasn't under a deadline. It was like, oh, in 2 months you'll give a presentation. Yeah. Just be prepared. So you were able to make everything look perfect and rehearse and practice. And with this, it's like, oh, we have this event, we have that event, let's
better
do it.
Better go, you know? Right, get it
and
done now.
And also respond to these emails. So it's fantastic, and it's taught me so much that I couldn't, I love reading, but I couldn't learn these things in a book. I have to
do them.
And I feel like even though it's an unpaid internship, for me, it makes me feel better because I don't feel as stressed. Because if you're paying me and expecting me to reach this caliber of experience that I do not have when I come in here, that sometimes frightens people, and then they're not learning, and then they're not performing well for you.
Well, I think that the point, you may be a little bit more afraid to ask a question when you're paid because you're expected to know.
Wait, we hired you. You're supposed to.
Right. I think that's a good lesson just for interns in general who might be listening, that you should not be afraid to ask questions. That's why you're there.
And that's how you learn.
That company is trading you for your time to give you a learning experience. And obviously Lilia embraces that because Lilia is just like an incredible human being, but that's beside the point.
She is. Absolutely. But she takes the time to say, maybe you should read this book. This will help you. You know, maybe you should check this professional speaker out and you know, analyze and see what they do, so it will help you in your everyday.
Right. But I want to say also, in my experience, I think everyone, when they first get into the workplace in a paid position, thinks I need to know, I shouldn't ask. No, you should always ask.
Absolutely.
You should always admit when you don't know something. There's always a way to say, you know what, I really don't know, I'm so sorry, I'll look it up. Or, you know what, I don't really understand what you're talking about. Could you back up a few steps and explain that to me?
Right.
Your manager, your client, your CEO, whomever, would much rather have you walk away from whatever the discussion is with a clear understanding than walk away confused.
You know. Lilia has trained us to walk in the office with our notepads and pens.
Absolutely.
So we're ready. So when you leave that office, you know it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You know everything on the list so you don't forget anything.
Absolutely. So I have had certainly conversations with people who start throwing out acronyms. And you're going like, really? What is a BRTFG? Yeah. I don't. Come on, people. You know, everybody doesn't know all these things.
Absolutely.
And nor should you, depending on where you're coming from.
Yes, absolutely.
So always ask, I think. Great lesson.
Well, our program is exciting, and I even believe that when we will make more money, we will definitely increase this internship program by the numbers, because San Diego World Trade Center, for example, has 20 to 30 interns.
Wow.
And they run their operations, like 50% of their operations are run by interns.
Wow.
And I can tell, I can see that, because I physically don't have time to create the flyers. I can do that, but I don't have time for that. And this is why we just set up for the day the goals and the plans, and they have been important and crucial for the operations, daily operations of the World Trade Center Atlanta.
Well, that is great. Now, you said you have how many interns altogether right now?
Right now, we have with Zach, with Miss Manin. Right now, we have four. And I have three more coming in. Typically, during the summertime, we have about 8-9 interns, and I'm expecting some more.
That's awesome. And it does take time just to manage that.
Yes.
One of the hardest things, I think, as a manager is that choice between do it myself or spend the time to delegate.
It's true. Yeah, then it's true. But I have to delegate because it's too much to
do
by yourself.
I mean, first of all, you're benefiting. Obviously, you're benefiting, you know, students and recent students and people who really need that experience. But also, you, even though sometimes it feels hard to let go, you're really benefiting yourself as well.
Yeah. I'm
learning
this.
Katie and I, we learn so much from one another, and we take pride in making everything as perfect as we can and as crisp. So I'll edit her stuff. She'll edit my stuff if we have time. And we're like, okay, just look this over before I email it or send it or post it.
That's something that's really interesting to me, something that I feel like is very different from in a classroom versus in a workplace, is you learn to not hoard everything to yourself and, you know, get credit for everything. You know, Chris is brilliant. And when we sit down something together and we give it to Lilia, it's 10 times better than it ever would be by itself. Yeah. You know, you learn that you have brilliant people around you and you work together and you use that, you know, combined brilliance to produce something amazing. And you don't, you kind of get out of the habit of hoarding everything to yourself.
Right. Don't cheat off my paper.
Right, exactly.
And as Lilia was saying, in Europe, they have more of a share program even in learning. You know, if, say, her and I were studying for a test and I don't know something, not saying that we should be cheating, but it's almost like they share the knowledge so that they're not putting the wrong answer down and remembering the wrong answer that they had written.
Yeah.
And I remember having a cultural anthropology teacher, and she's from Greece, and she told me about this. And I'm like, this is fantastic. We should do it here on our final day. Yeah. And she laughed and said, I don't think we could get away with that. I'm like, okay, well.
Well, now I have to really get back to the exciting news about World Trade Center Atlanta.
Please.
First of all, as you know, maybe one World Trade Center building in New York is finished, and it's the tallest building in New York.
Wow.
Yes. It's like it was initially. It was the tallest building, and it's 104 floor. Skyscraper will be feet from becoming the highest in the Western Hemisphere. Oh, wow. I'm sorry. It's the Western Hemisphere.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
And is it open already, or is it?
Not yet.
Okay.
But you can see on 11 Live News or just, you know, Google.
Last night I was online and saw it looks amazing. I was impressed. I was like, wow.
In the news yesterday, yes, it's ready. It's there. And we're so proud of that because actually last year when we had a members meeting, typically we have in December, that they were touring that building. It was VIP tour opened only for the World Trade Center Association members.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing in a way that I was talking about with running the peach tree, and that, you know, it's it's our pride in saying, you know what,
yes,
you knocked us down,
absolutely,
but we're getting back up.
Yes.
So good for the World Trade Center, and I'm excited to see it.
And then I would like to mention the events we had and we have. First of all, we are partnering with the Rialto Center. You know them, you love them.
Of course.
Rialto Center hosted Hugh Masekela, the world's most famous trumpist. And they had a private dinner before his concert, and we were honored as the restaurant associates to cater for the governor and for the few senators and a few consuls from the consular corps. Then we had a South African ambassador coming in and speaking on April 17th on the business opportunities in South Africa and how to about the entry points, you know, what you need to know, how you need to implement that. Then we just recently, in partnership with Georgia Department of Economic Development, host Mike McMurray, who is the director for economic development of Halifax. And listen what they offer. I really believe that for those who couldn't attend, they will be excited to hear that. As you know, for the past 6 years, Southeastern United States, Canadian Provinces Alliance was bringing together businesses between the southeastern region of the United States and Canada. And this year, this conference is happening in Halifax, July 14th through 16th. And listen to the opportunities they bring. Over $100 billion in major investment projects through Atlantic Canada. Nova Scotia accounts for $32.7 billion in investment projects. Among those major projects are national shipbuilding procurement strategy, Lower Churchill Maritime Link, offshore oil and gas exploration, Hebron Project, estimated value $14 billion over 14 years. Yeah. Shell and BP, estimated value $2 billion. White Rose, estimated $6 billion. Then hydroelectricity, estimated value $6.7 billion over 4 years. Nova Scotia is the sixth of the world's top defense six of the world's top defense companies are operating in Nova Scotia.
So when they come here and do a presentation like that, is the goal just to educate people? Is it to get more business?
See, the beauty of this alliance is that it's an open bridge without any any additional complications on the visas, on
right.
the
it gets the obstacles out of the way so
yes.
you can get to business.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
And they bring opportunities for companies in Georgia and southeastern part of the United States to go there and meet with the other 300 companies from this area and Canada to meet with 7 premiers from Canada and 5 governors from southeastern of the United States.
It's interesting because over the that we've been working with you here at the station and have had guests from a lot of different countries that you've sent mm-hmm. our way, I think your typical sort of small to mid-sized company working in Atlanta or the Southeast doesn't realize what kind of opportunities.
Yes.
I mean, I wouldn't give.
Yes.
I wouldn't think for a second about Halifax.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't even cross
mm-hmm.
my mind that
yes.
that's where I should expand.
Exactly. Just the education
Correct.
Alone. I mean, and seeing
mm-hmm.
like you know mm-hmm. some of that information that you had sent Lilia
mm-hmm.
about
mm-hmm.
the Nova Scotian yeah. industry and the growth,
yes.
183% over
yes.
7 years.
That's what
years.
I said. I said, is 183%, does that actually happen?
It is.
Because even
and,
like business.
And ladies, this is why I'm very excited to work with you, because I still believe that we do not promote enough and people don't know. And I try to find the ways to bring that information in the timing manner that they will say, oh, look, it's right here.
Yeah.
It's just 2 hours to get to Toronto and 1.5 hours to get from Toronto to Halifax and to stay in front of the decision makers.
Yeah.
And maybe to be approved for the grant money or to work with such a big one of those projects.
Yeah.
And to me, it's again, people don't understand that World Trade Center is the informational center. We are working with all entities, local and international, here and bring that to them.
Yeah. I think that's the whole point. It's like if you're a member of the World Trade Center, well, if you're not a member of the World Trade Center, you should become one.
Yes, exactly.
But the whole point is that if you're participating and you're attending some of these events, or even like you said, reading the information mm-hmm. in a follow-up format, that you're opening your mind
mm-hmm.
to corners of the globe that you probably never even thought about in terms of expanding your business
yeah.
or getting a job
yeah,
or
absolutely.
You know, coordinating with somebody else.
Following on that, under the World Trade Center Association umbrella, our yearly Future Aliyah event, this year it's happening in Istanbul from June 5th through 7th. This is a unique opportunity for small, medium-sized companies typically it's under $2,000, all inclusive. The wow. only thing you pay, yes, it's airfare, and it's not too much. But there is a software where you receive 16 personalized matchmaking meetings pre-scheduled for you when you go there. Plus, you can meet with whomever else you want. Plus, you will be educated on the opportunities in that part of the world. And you have access to the database of more than 6,000 to 7,000 companies worldwide for a whole year. And this is right here, too. We are the delegation leader for the state of Georgia for the past 7 years.
Wow.
It's all in your backyard.
Well, yeah, when you meet American business people, Atlanta business people in the Southeast here, et cetera, what is the biggest fear or objection to going global?
Dana, the fear is that they feel that they don't have enough money to pay to start, to begin business, or to even start being involved with a foreign partner because they need a lawyer, they need an accountant to learn about taxes.
The red tape, exactly, yeah, like Chris was saying.
But it's so wrong because World Trade Center has a one of the board members, Dawn Ely. You've met Dawn. She had her radio program as well.
Yep.
And Dawn has a part-time CEO, C4, CLO consultant. Where whether you go internationally or you come here to Atlanta, you don't have to spend a fortune to get these services or to be able to communicate with the professional in this field to know how do I work with Brazilian partner or how do I start my office in Mumbai. It's all here. We have this. We can help. People have fear because they don't know and they don't even ask. And you know how you can see that a person, if you stay in the Neiman Marcus store and you see people browsing outside, they would look and you would see fear in their eyes just to enter the store. Just come in. You might find something for $20. I promise you.
Right.
They have sales. I bought there something. Yeah. It's same, seriously, it's yeah. the same concept with this going abroad or international. They have fear, which is blocking their thought process, that they would not even ask.
Right.
They would not even come to the World Trade Center because of that fear.
Right. And I quickly, and we're running out of time, but I do quickly want to even just talk a little bit about one of the success stories I've heard about from the World Trade Center, because you guys also have a partnership with City Club of Buckhead, correct?
Yes, of course.
And so one of the gals that actually works there has connected with Wilson Faure.
Yes, Brazilian.
Yes, and she is, uh-huh. So she's building, she's, you know, a Southern girl from here. She's in her 20s, late 20s, I think. And
the shoe?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
And Amanda Chassie Chic, and she's building a shoe company mm-hmm. Aimed at working women so that they can have a more flexible shoe assortment on a budget.
I love it.
And she connected with Wilson, and yes. he's hooking her up with manufacturers wow. in Brazil.
I actually introduced
them.
Yes.
Yeah. And oh, so, wow. and I, of course, we know Wilson and yes. we know Amanda, and all by chance. And it's not even just the programming, it's the members
yes.
as well who can
yes.
make those connections for you. All right. We are just about out of time. So is there anything else you quickly want to?
One more thing. May 9th, we would like you to please be our guest of honor. We are hosting and organizing the Europe Day event where all the consular corps and the businesses involved in international will be celebrating the Europe Day at the World Trade Center Atlanta from 5:30 till 8:30 p.m.
Awesome. And all that information, we always say this at the close of every show anyway, but I'm going to say it twice today, is on WTCAtlanta.com. So I do think that about wraps it up for us. Of course, we want to thank Lilia Posolacci always for sending us
thank
wonderful
you.
Guests and for being here today and bringing along Chris and Katie. Nice to
thank
see you
so
girls.
Much. Nice meeting you.
And good luck to both of you. If there's anything we can do to help you, please let us know. Thanks again to everybody listening as well. And of course, to World Trade Center Atlanta, just as a sponsor, again, WTCAtlanta.com. I'm Dana Barrett.
I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and you have been listening to Business Radio X, a proud 2013 member of Central Atlanta Progress. Learn more about Central Atlanta Progress at AtlantaDowntown.com. We'll talk to you next week.